You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Geraldine Perry and Lark in Texas, and I will post the appropriate websites in the chat room. So we're talking about the early history of the United States, and I do cover a lot of this in the first book in my trilogy, which hasn't been banned by Amazon yet, so that's a good thing. Okay. Pick up where we left off.
Situation with Hamilton and his skullduggery. But remember, he was working hand in hand with George Washington.
Right.
And yes, we had a Jeffersonian vision of America until the war between the states. There's no question. But again,
which was a Marxist revolution.
It was. It was probably the first successful Marxist revolution.
It was.
Although
yes.
William Stuart, do a search on YouTube, along with the words plenary power, he's an English guy. He claims it really kind of started, and of course it's preceded by the English Civil War and the things that were happening in Europe before that. You can't really understand American history until you understand quite a bit about European history, especially the history of France and Great Britain and, of course, Germany and even all the nations mm-hmm. of Europe. But that concept I picked up on was called seized in domain as of fee. And it's a strict technical expression used to describe the ownership of, quote, an estate in fee simple, in possession in a corporeal hereditament. And so... that's important to understand. The truth of the matter is real wealth is in the land because we are land-dwelling creatures. So far as I know, we're not amphibious yet. And, of course, we've heard of the law of the land and the law of the sea and admiralty and maritime law and so forth and so on. But, you know, at the end of the day, we are land-dwelling creature. In my opinion, we have never been afforded a allodial or fee simple title to property from the beginning. Now, perhaps some aristocrats, the we the people, in that constitution that was set up by the framers, perhaps they were able to have a allodial or fee simple title, but for the commoners born American, the colonists, up until the present day, that's the root of our problem, is that we don't have...
Could you give me the information where you're finding that? Because that's not what I understand. In fact, that's what I wrote about in American Dreams Destroyed by Debt, because we did have fee simple title until we got to the Western state, when they opened up the West. Then it became, they were under, and this is from Wayne Hagee. Do you remember him? Wayne Hagee.
Right.
Riparian rights. He was talking about, he was the one that was in Colorado, I think.
Right.
That fought off, they wanted to prevent the water from, him from using water because they were going to use it for something else, the powers that be.
That's all gone by the wayside today, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about riparian rights.
That's how they started it with the West. But what I'm saying is that fee simple title was issued to ordinary individuals up until, I think it was the Mississippi line, somewhere around there.
Well, I guess I was condensing a lot of material to basically get us to where we are today. And, I have a different view of history and the law than I had growing up, that's for sure. But of course, my research is focused on today because I care about the future of the people of not just this country, but all over the world. And I think we're headed towards really a horrific kind of techno-slavery, mm-hmm. as I term it.
No doubt about that.
And that's what I'm, we have to remember technology is first and foremost about language. It's a man-made contrivance, just like so-called money is today. And then now we have this attachment to machines and devices and the internet, which is scary because, I mean, this is the most efficient surveillance and espionage tool I think ever invented. And we love it. You know, we just love the, remember what Aldous Huxley said at UC Berkeley in 1962. The ultimate revolution was one in which man would learn to love
his servitude,
slavery. That's right. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are today. And that's why I proffer these nine words, Deanna,
mm-hmm.
because it's the only thing that I've been able to come up with that is really simple, that people can grasp. I mean, we're always going to have holes in our educations and the way we grasp the world. But what we can do is get down to brass tacks about what is important. And that's why I came up with these nine words, because, see, we're bombarded by words all the time. And remember, language itself is an interesting study. You know, there's roughly it's divided between the study of signs and the study of symbols. And that would be something that anybody can engage in if they'd like. When I talk about philosophy, I know people hate to hear it, but the truth is there's really no separation between religion and philosophy. And according to Harvard Law professor Harold Berman, who passed away a few years ago, there's really no separation between religion, philosophy, economics, and the law. And this is the time in which we live. So I think we have to, root it in something. You know, when you have, you can't own your house anymore because you're a tenant. You
right.
pay that thing
it says
off.
Right. It says right in the deed, tenant, joint tenant, or single tenant. Mm-hmm.
And
it's owner.
The communitarians are right. I mean, a lot of people don't like this word. It's fallen out of favor in certain intellectual circles, academic circles. But no one can deny that it's also neo-colonialism, neo-feudalism, and neo-Platonism. You know, I've listed these things, parasitism. It's a form of parasitism or vampirism. But if people want to become familiar with my work, they should start with, by doing a search, communitarianism, first things first. And that will lead you to another piece called Lark on Communitarianism. But what I've been dragging my feet on is the third part of what I call a trilogy, Deanna, because I hold that people just don't read anymore. And that's why you've got to really kind of boil things down. You've got to really boil things down to, get anything sticky in the marketplace that people can attach themselves to. But, these nine words are important because it's going to help the average person determine what's important. You have to ask yourself what's important. Only you can decide. And, if you care about wealth or health, you need to be concerned about how do you secure your provisions, for nourishment, food and water. But Americans are becoming interlopers, squatters, beggars on this land under communitarian law. The new system of the New World Order is communitarianism. I've been talking about it for years. I've been researching it for 15 years. And yes, it's about commercial law. It's about the UCC. And yes, it's about contract law. But this is just part and parcel of communitarian law. The new system is communitarianism.
Right.
Yeah. And so we have to learn how to traverse or navigate this milieu in which we find ourselves. It's like a toxic soup. And we've seen how they've poisoned the air, they've poisoned the water. Our own food supply is being poisoned, but by whom or what? That's why I say in a communitarian system, most people do not realize they have been conscripted to evil. When they attach themselves to corporations, trade unions, trade associations, or any kind of collectivist entity. At the end of the day, what we care about is having an authentic human experience. And, you know, most people are not out to harm other people. But if you had true property rights in this country, you would not be allowed to poison the well of your neighbor.
Right. Right.
It would be supported in the law.
Right.
We wouldn't have this environmental degradation that we see today. It just it couldn't happen because in the law, you have the ability to sue. If somebody has poisoned their land and it's also poisoning your land, there's a remedy. If you have a river running through four or five different properties, you wouldn't be allowed to poison the river because a lot of people derive their sustenance from fishing. I mean, this land is a paradise, and it can be still. This life is one of abundance. It's not one of scarcity. Forgive me. That's
no,
my rant.
I appreciate your comments. We do have a caller from Ireland. Let's take Britzer from Ireland. Yo, you there?
Must be Breiser.
Breiser.
We were talking about Sandy Hook and whatever. We also had Lark from Texas on the show as well, and it's great to tune into the show because he sent me an email saying that he was doing the show with you tonight, so I tuned in. So it's as I have to say, Deanna, this man Lark is just a mind of knowledge. You know, what he says is just incredible. It's just it's brought me down another kind of rabbit hole. I've been looking at what Nikki Rapana has been talking about, communitarianism, and Lark has kind of more or less joined a lot of dots for me. And it's just amazing because I see it here in Ireland. The same thing is happening. And so it's great to be on here to talk with you guys, you know. So
well, the history of Ireland, if you listen to Christopher Fogarty, is oh my gosh, the things that happened there in the so-called famine, which wasn't a famine at all, it was a starvation in order to move people to a different place where they could be used for labor. So it's terrible, the things that have happened in most countries by the exact same so-called ruling elite.
Yeah. Well, what happened to Ireland, Deanna, is the same thing that happened to Germany. There's two countries in Europe that's really been hammered by our Talmudic friends, okay? They've really hammered us. Big time. And they've turned us basically into slaves. They've tried to dumb us down in every way possible.
That's happened all over the world.
But we're now beginning to see a bit of resurgence now, which is great, because you can't kill the human spirit.
Thank goodness.
And it's coming back out now, and we're seeing a bit of resurgence here now. And it's all because they're trying to now force this, uncontrolled migration into our countries. You know, up to about 10 years ago, Ireland was a white ethno-state. It was a staunchly white Catholic country.
Mm-hmm. Now, they're trying look to, at it, they're trying bastardizing to, the, all countries, every country.
Yeah, yeah. And, we're having mosques being built everywhere where there used to be churches. This type of thing, and people now are beginning to go, now hold on a minute here. And not only that, we're seeing people being thrown out of their homes because of, you know, we had our economy built up where people bought homes and everything. Now they're being thrown out of their homes. Families are being destroyed. Suicide rates are going through the roof. And we have all the usual transgender nonsense coming into the schools and all the rest of it. And we're now beginning to see a pushback. And I'm so delighted to see this because I was really worried there for a time, Deanna, because I thought, are people going to wake up here? But eventually they have. The alarm clock has gone off, and people are now saying, enough is enough. And so let's keep it going. And, you know, we interviewed Lark on our radio show maybe about 2 or 3 months ago, and, you know, he kind of pointed it all out. Now, it goes deep, but he kind of explained it extremely well. And a lot of people, I got some great feedback from that show that we did with him. And people are now beginning to get it, beginning to join the dots. And we're moving forward. And this is what needs to be done. What I'm trying to do, what I'm trying to talk to people here, just try to get them onto the basic stuff, you know, about vaccines, about how your kids are being dumbed down, to, like fluoride in the water, all these things are affecting people, you know. And they're beginning to see it now. They're beginning to see it. And there's something going. There's a shift. There is a shift. And long may it continue. Sometimes I think maybe we're too late to the game here. But, I also say it's never too late. It's never too late. Let's keep doing what we're doing.
Right on, Bryce. Thank you for your kind words, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
I've always loved the Irish people, and I know, I guess you're up there in Cornwall along with Graham, is that correct?
Yeah, well, Graham's in Cornwall, which is in the southwest of England, but that's that part of Cornwall is actually a Celtic country. It's not; they don't regard themselves as English there, they kind of regard themselves more Celtic. So they're like the Scottish and the Welsh. So we've more kind of affinity there, yeah. And they have their own language, which is that, you know, when you look at even the history of Cornwall, their language was taken away. They had a famine in Cornwall as well, would you believe? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think this was kind of... Dark, you carry on.
Forgive me, I was just going to mention that the name of the show for the listeners and for... Deanna and Jerry is called the Graham Hart Show, H-A-R-T.
Yes, yes.
Which is on every Monday, and it can be searched easily, the Graham Hart Show.
I've been on his
program
before. Deanna
was on there, yeah. We know Deanna well.
And Deanna, I have Irish ancestors, Irish, English, and Danish.
And Deanna, I'm very friendly with a good friend of yours, who goes by the name of Lily Valley.
Talk about Irish, yes indeed.
Yeah, absolutely, you know.
Yep.
So, you know, we're Europe has been so oppressed, and that's, I suppose, the reason, you know, a lot of people went to America to start a new life, a free life, and now America is just turning into another hellhole.
Yes.
We've got to turn this around.
Yes.
All of us, we're all in this together.
And that means the people that were bombed in the Middle East, they didn't want to leave their homes, but when you're bombed back to the Stone Age, and all your relatives are killed, and you're slaughtered, then you leave. So the whole planet are victimized. But we need to do things in our own lives so that we are not victims in everything. There are still decisions that we can make. Education, of course, is one of them. Being educated by Lark and by Jerry today has been a wonderful thing. And alternative radio. So thank you so much. Okay, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back, folks.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the battle.
All righty, we are back, and our guests today, excuse me, our guests today are Geraldine Perry, and she is still with us. And I will post her websites in the chat room. And Lark in Texas, we're talking, we're taking phone calls, actually, is what we're doing. And certainly we are all in this together. The entire world is in this together. So, okay, we were talking with, we're talking with Breiser in Ireland. We have Mark in Philadelphia.
I'm back. Mark?
Yes. Okay, Breiser, go ahead.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm back. I'm back. Can you hear me now?
Yes, so we can hear you now.
Okay, I just wanted to ask, Mark, because what we're seeing here in Ireland, of course, we're seeing a lot of, you know, a lot of Muslims moving into the country and everything. A lot of people are afraid of Sharia law, Mark. I'm trying to tell them that it's not really Sharia law that's the problem here. Because the Muslims don't own the banks, they don't own the media, they're not behind all the cultural Marxism nonsense that we're seeing, right? They have no power. So why are people afraid of Sharia law? So what would you say when someone approaches you to ask, you know,
just
Sharia law, we're going to be in Sharia law?
Just what you just said. That's what I would say. They don't own the media. They don't own the banks. They don't own the corporations. We are really taught to fear each other, to fear people who are different than we are, and I think that's the answer. We really need to evaluate who the enemy is and what the enemy has done to us. Who was the enemy before they initiated the Sharia law scare tactic? It goes back far beyond that. Wouldn't you agree, Lark?
What the people in Ireland, just like all over the world, need to be concerned with and to be focused on is communitarian law. There is a wealth of information on the internet. It's out there. Most people just don't want to go there. But the truth of the matter is that I have found very few inconsistencies between communitarian law and Talmudic law. You know, they will co-opt canonical, ecclesiastical, Islamic law, all kinds of laws, if it conforms to the Talmud. Because remember, these people consider that the Talmud is unimpeachable. It's far superior to any other form of law that's ever existed in human history. And of course, it's informed by the Kabbalah. And that's why we have these conflations of morals and ethics, and why we have all of this pseudoscience in the form of the social scientists and the behaviorists weighing in on massaging the language of the so-called law. It's all designed to basically put us all in bondage and in slavery and in checkmate. Frankly, checkmate, where we just don't feel any way out and we just feel helpless to do anything. But we have to call these people out, and they're using the language of communitarianism in their speeches. We're talking about these sock puppets called political candidates and office holders. They're
and
using the language.
Religionists
and the
also.
Religionists. That's right.
There's some religions that are you know, engaging in this. I won't name which ones they are, but certainly they are complicit, because people have a tendency to adopt their religious views, and it all sounds very wonderful. Love your neighbor and all that stuff while they're bombing the heck out of some other country. Any church that supports warfare, in my opinion, is, well, you have to understand what they're supporting. They're not supporting what they claim to be supporting.
An example.
501c3 corporations, okay? They are corporations, period, plain and simple. And they're
everything is privatized today.
Right.
Everything's been privatized today. And if you look at the words that these people are using in their stump speeches, you know, your members of parliament over there, our senators and congress critters over here, they're using the language. The people are just unfamiliar with the language. It's rather much like a coded language. That's why I call it communitarian code speak, because I liken it to Orwellian newspeak or doublethink.
Right.
The language is there. I mean, an example would be when David Cameron came onto the scene and assumed office, he used the word subsidiarity. Well, the word subsidiarity goes to the doctrine of subsidiary, which goes to the heart of Catholic social teaching. And so the communitarians co-opted it. Why? Because they had their sock puppet use the word. And subsidiarity is nothing more than the belief that the best government is that which is the most immediate, the most local to you. And that's why they say that communitarianism is a system of global to local governance. It's management. Governments and nation states are slated to go by the wayside, and they're going to be replaced by the global to local or globalized market state. And in turn, we're going to see the rise of the so-called regionalized city states, like is evidenced with the One Bay Plan over in San Francisco. that people like Rosa Corey and others are fighting. So
yeah,
that's just it. You know, people are not talking about the real deal. And if you're in Europe, you want to be talking about EU law and how it impacts on the individual and basically arrest your development as a human being and put you in bondage and slavery.
Mm-hmm.
They're using the language, but you don't hear it because you think it's just nice, cosseting, usual, political doublespeak.
Yeah,
and you don't parse language. We have to challenge them on their language and their own words.
Well, David Cameron came out with that statement, big society. What does actually big society mean?
Communitarian.
Exactly, yeah. Now, I'm seeing
all about communitarianism.
Over. I'm seeing councils
big society. Big society is a euphemism for communitarianism. I mean, as far back as 1996, Fareed Zakaria wrote an article for, I think, Salon. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's a big-shot Egyptian-American who's got a radio show every Sunday called Fareed Zakaria, GPS, Global Public Square. This article was titled The ABCs of Communitarianism. C stands for civil society or civic society, and it's really the same thing as capitalized words, big society. They're buffaloing us or bamboozling us with their deliberate choice of language, which flies right over the heads of the people that hear it. But you can bet the people that are on the inside, they know.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, when you have this false dialectic between political candidates, for instance, you know, it's just like in America, you know, you've got the Democrats and you have the Republicans. Well, they're both communitarian.
Right.
You know, and basically when they talk, you know, basically they're two wings of the same phoenix bird.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer the bald eagle, which is a national symbol. It's the phoenix bird. Out of the ashes, what will rise? What will emerge?
Mm-hmm.
Well, over in Europe, they call it, you know, the big society.
Mm-hmm.
They're using
euphemism.
Can I jump
in for just a second?
Yes.
Sure.
But speaking about language, I've taken to calling this phenomenon the globalist one-world mammon worshiper neoliberal faction of society. Sometimes they talk themselves into believing this stuff. But I wanted to ask a question also about, since we're talking to someone from Ireland, right, about the Yellow Vest Revolution, because that's my take on them from what I've been able to discover. They are protesting this globalist cabal, whatever you want to call it, communitarianism, whatever. That's what they're really doing throughout France, at least. And it's been going on for longer than that, when farmers were dumping products in Italy, I think, southern France and northern Italy, and protesting that TTIP, that other trade thing that didn't get anywhere. So anyway, that's my question. I was wondering if the Ireland person had heard anything about that.
I'm watching the Yellow Vest thing with interest. I'm just kind of wondering, is this another French Revolution?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the people who are involved are totally committed, and they're straight up, they're legit. It's an organization that can be so easily infiltrated and co-opted. Okay?
Right.
So if the aim is to take down the government, then who's going to fill that vacuum?
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing.
Breiser, I think you're entirely correct. I mean, we can liken it to the Occupy movement in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Remember,
exactly.
The Occupy movement was dreamt up by a Canadian advertising executive named Callie Lassa. KALLELASN. He got funding from George Soros and assistance from Hillary Clinton's State Department. It was a contrivance from the beginning. And it was dreamt up by a guy who wrote a book called Culture Jam, in which he said, we will wreck this world. And if you put his name in a search engine, Callie Lassen, K-A-L-L-E LASN. You'll learn about a website called Occupy, something Occupy Wall Street Exposed or something like that. And but you'll also hear him talking about mimetic warfare. A lot of people have never even heard of mimetic warfare or even meme theory. But that is part and parcel of the type of warfare, the war on words that we're engaged in. Cowley Lassen said, whoever has the memes, that would be the units of cultural replication or the slogans or words that are bandied about and planted in the people's heads, they would have the power. And that's why I say we have to challenge their language. And we have to expose their language for what it is because we become familiar. When Jerry mentioned Nikki Rapana's book, in the appendices, it's called The Definitive Anti-Communitarian Manifesto. It's two books in one. And this is essential reading. But one of the books is called 2020, Our Common Destiny. And the other is called The Definitive Anti-Communitarian Manifesto. It's two books in one. It's under $20. It's a downloadable ebook. But Jerry mentioned Big Mother's Double-Tongued Dictionary, but there's also communitarian buzzwords. Well, Big Mother's Double-Tongued Dictionary is a whole small section that's alphabetized with, frankly, a lot of terms of art that are commonly employed. But remember, they're changing the language all the time. You have to call them out on their use of the language and ask them to elaborate. You know? And we're just not, you know, remember, political science is another pseudoscience. But, you know, it's being wielded against us to quite a sophisticated degree today. And that's why the copywriters, the propagandists, the people in intelligence circles, they have really glommed onto this thing called meme theory, because the meme is a made-up word by Richard Dawkins in a book called The Selfish Gene that was published in 1976. I know about this because I studied copywriting and branding and marketing for a few years. And the American people are just unsophisticated, just like the people in Ireland, unfortunately. And we, as people who are trying to get down to the nitty-gritty of what's going wrong, we're going to have to dig a little bit deeper, which means all of us need to up our game. We just need to get hit. That's all.
Because what I'm seeing is it's this whole, you know, New World Order, kind of order out of chaos. And we're seeing chaos happening before our eyes.
Yeah, they want to destroy all of your foundations, all your moorings about how you thought you were going to live this life. They want to destroy your religious, your religion.
And the culture, and how your art, and everything else.
Right. And they're doing it for a reason. Because they want to reinvent the future their way, and they insist on having their way at your expense.
Could I ask, what kind of chaos?
Go ahead.
What kind of chaos are you seeing? Could you, you know, like, fill us in on the, I mean, is there, like, in Sweden, there's, and Germany, there's these, what would you call them, gangs or something, committing all sorts of atrocious crimes. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Well, yeah, it's pushing. They're attacking us from every angle, right? Okay, yeah, you're seeing the rape gangs. Okay, you're seeing all of these things. The white people, the people of the country, the ethnic people of their lands are being destroyed. They're losing everything that they've worked hard for, and their parents and their grandparents worked hard for.
So it's in the legal system too is creating chaos for the indigenous, for the Irish themselves.
Yeah, so they're getting preferential treatment. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think this is deliberate. And when you look at governments across the world, like look at the Irish government, look at the Canadian government, look at the French government, these people couldn't govern their way out of a paper bag. Seriously, they can't. They're useless. And I think that's just deliberate. I think that's deliberate. Just
that's
to
because
bring down...
They're professional sock puppets, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all they
but
are.
But isn't it to bring down national governments so they can create the one world government to break down the nation state where there is no national government, so it now comes down to the cities, the councils, that type of thing. Bring it back down to that level, the communitarian point of view. Is that what's going on?
Absolutely. They have to destroy, again, their aim is learned helplessness. They want people to feel, they basically want to teach people to accept their bondage. They can't do anything about it. My late younger brother, he used to say, well, what do you want me to do? You see?
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't understand how this cultural shift in the world had impacted upon his entire life. What had it done to destroy him?
Yeah.
And it's destroyed myself. I'm a person that's literally been out of the system since 1997. I watched my last Hollywood movie in 1986. I don't watch television. I stopped banking in 2005. And yet I can't escape it either. You know, it's all about money and law. Okay? That's the whole nexus of the problem. It's money and the law. And these are weapons being wielded against the people. They
want to
destroy all your religious foundations, everything that you once hold sacred and dear. Yes, they want to destroy the family. That's been apparent for a long time. I mean, but again, I ask people to read the article. Like, just do a search. Are you a practicing communist?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't even realize how it is they've been conscripted to evil. Because all they can think of was, well, I got a job, the benefits are good, I've got Blue Cross, Blue Shield, I might get a raise in 6 months. And I champion what's called free agency. I was brought up to believe the idea was that you only went to work for somebody else until such time as you could work for yourself. That's called free agency. And, you know, and these kids today, they're going to school and all they can think about is what kind of job can I get? The guy that was going to mow my yard 10 years ago when I moved into this house in suburbia, you know, and I'm swimming in a toxic soup here. I live right near Texas Instruments. You know, it's a huge tech corridor. And we've got Chinatown not far away. I can almost walk to it. There must be 100 nationalities around me. They're destroying the culture. And I've also mentioned before, people should look up the Charlemagne Prize online. They've been giving it out since 1950.
The Kalergi Plan.
That's right. So they're not only doing that to Ireland and to Germany and to Europe in general, but they're doing it right here in the States too. They want a pluralistic society. They want, you know, if nobody has any foundations in their lives and they can't trust their neighbors because they don't understand how they think, then people are going to become atomized. They're going to withdraw into a shell. And this suits these people fine because they don't want people talking and having genuine conversations like at the pub or the coffee shop or what have you. And I've discovered this within myself. I'm glued to doing research all day, and I don't have a whole lot in common with the people that live around me. And so the opposite effect is taking place. I mean, and the way I was raised, I was told strong fences make good neighbors.
Right.
And in polite society, you never talk about religion and politics. Well, this is what's destroying us. Because we don't have these genuine conversations.
That's the issue I have with Donald Trump. He says he wants to build a wall, okay, with Mexico. That's fine, right? But you have this, New York City, Chicago, L.A., the big cities saying, well, we need these people, so we just fight them in. and we just slide them in. The wall doesn't, doesn't make any difference.
But see, it doesn't matter, Breiser, because he's just another sock puppet. Okay? What these people say to me does not matter. What really matters is the conversations you're having with your family members, your loved ones, your friends. This is what matters. And these are the conversations we're not having because we're just uninformed and we're not very sophisticated. And I hate to say that, but I know it's true in my own experience. I've seen it. I don't consider myself a brainiac or the smartest guy in the world, but most of the conversations I have with strangers are superficial. And that's why we're not educating each other. You know, the guy that has this good job down at the electric company, maybe he's installing smart meters, and he sees himself as a good provider for his family, you know?
I know.
He doesn't know that he's been conscripted to evil. All he knows is he can bring home the bacon, and his wife can work a part-time job, and they have a mortgage, and they've got three kids in school, and... he's tethered. You know, he can't do a lot of thinking outside the box. But, you know, older people, retired people, like, say, Deanna and I, and other people, you know, we have kind of responsibility. You know, it used to be we respected the elders in our society. You know, we really cared for them. We cherished them. Well, that's because we've lived long enough to be able to see some things that we can impart to our progeny, to the younger generations. And if I think in my own activist efforts, I don't think I'm going to be effective until I can reach the teenagers and the 20-somethings. Honestly.
Well, I know I got through to my sister-in-law, who's a nurse, and there's no way she'd get her kids vaccinated. You know, I've talked to her about it, and she's looked into it. Now, she says that, she could be forced to, because she works in a hospital, to take a vaccination. No way. She'll walk out of that job before she takes the vaccination.
Good for her.
That's positive signs. These are positive signs, you see. We're seeing some kind of pushback.
I won't even have my dog
kind of nurture that and move it on. Oh. I've got a 19-year-old cat I never vaccinated, and she's doing really great, you know. So there we go.
Okay. Well, listen, we do have some other callers, and Breiser, thank you so much. Really.
I'll leave now. Thanks very much for taking my call, and Lark and Deanna, take care. And who's the other lady that was on the call there?
Jerry,
thanks very much for everything. And listen, take care, guys. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye, Breiser. All right, let's take Bye-bye. Mark in Philadelphia. Mark. Oops. Okay, do we have Mark or no? I guess he got tired. Okay. Alrighty. Your comments about... yes?
Here comes Mark.
Okay, Mark. Welcome. Thank you for your patience.
Oh, thank you. It was good to hear everything there. First of all, thank you for everybody being there. The deal is that if you're going to solve a problem, it's a good idea to clearly define it. And Lark and Deanna and Jerry, you've brought some really, really keen observations here. And Deanna, you always do. And Lark, you always do. First time hearing Jerry. But Lark, you're very, very, very keen, and you're very intelligent. Okay, I think you really get it, and I respect both of you because you're my senior, my elder. So the thing is, okay. So solve a problem. First of all, you got to clarify what the problem is. Hold on. Let's back up. First of all, you got to know. You got to be able to be sensitive that there is a problem. Okay. And that's the problem. Now, what happened there? Okay, I differ with you, Lark, on the idea that people aren't sophisticated enough. No, I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is that long ago, multi-generations ago, the evil deities or whoever's behind all this and their minions who've, you know, the Marxists and Bolsheviks, whatever, Talmudics, have sought to disconnect individuals from the neck down. And they put us in our head, in our intellect, and we stopped.
Absolutely. Yes.
We stop feeling the earth beneath our feet. The majority of people now. Oh, now we're getting stuck to five.
Okay, hang on. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are back, and we have Mark. Mark, go ahead.
I thought I'd have a few more minutes. I'll do my best to get this in. So the deal is, they sought to disconnect us from the neck down. Okay, our connection with the earth, our connection with common sense, like trying to describe the color blue to a blind man who is blind from birth. We have people walking around, and you wonder why they don't get it. Because they've been disconnected from the neck down. Okay? Yes, they may have an intellect. They may have a brain. But do they have a mind? The mind doesn't exist in just the head. The mind is in every cell of the body. Okay? And people are not aware that they've been that they are in slavery. Okay, they don't even know what freedom is. How do you know what freedom is? If you last multiple generations, we don't know what freedom is. We really don't know what true freedom is. So they don't. So basically, they've just managed their lives inside of a box, a very narrowing box, and so they don't even know a problem exists. That's the big problem. They don't even know a problem exists. The majority of people are living now in the cities where people walk on concrete, and you have multiple generations of people who have grown up in the cities. Now, before, you had people that maybe moved to cities, and they still had family back in the countryside, so they could still relate to the earth. Well, now most people live in the cities, so they become this man-made system is trapping a lot of people. So they don't even know that there is a problem because they're managing within that box. Some of them are managing quite well, and until the point where they're enslaved to the max, where they're censored, where they can't even talk about their own religions. Okay, there's no problem. They don't see a problem. So first of all, knowing that there is a problem. Then clarifying the problem, then you got a problem with that, because then you got a lot of people who can, you know, get on all the details and then argue about all the finer points, which really, the point of it is we do have a problem and we're losing our freedom. So you got to get people to agree that there is a problem, and then you got to get people to organize to solve the problem. We haven't even we're still dealing with people who aren't even awake to the problem. So that's the challenge. The finer points of the details of our enslavement are like talking about all these finer points while we're on the upper deck of the Titanic as it's sinking. The water's coming, but people would rather get involved with the details of, you know, stuff that really doesn't matter. They don't see the impending doom. They don't feel it. I've experienced it in my life, having lost two families by the age of 21. Okay? So I've seen this for a while. In the midst of my turmoil, did the people next to me or around me see a problem? No. You know why? They were comfortably numb. They were comfortably numb. If it didn't affect them, well, it's not their problem. And that would never happen to me. See, that's their attitude. That's, by the way, that's kind of a Christian, well, the religious kind of thing. You know, better than thou. You know the plight of your fellow man is not your problem, not their problem, the way they looked at it. So. Anyway, I say that the challenge is for people to really get it that there is a problem, and I don't see any. Hopefully, more people will start waking up like sooner rather than later. Because if we don't do it, then what are we, you know?
Okay,
solving the problem is going
to be
futile.
Consciousness and recognize that there's something better. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So much, Clark, Jerry. Thank you for the callers that came in. And Lark and Jerry, fabulous conversation. I very much enjoyed having you both on the program. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. I love being called late instead of guy.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.